Hey, if you've suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-CALL-NOW. That's 713-CALL-NOW. Or you can go to the website, DaspitLaw.com.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Good Tuesday morning, everybody. John and Lance.
Yeah, we're on. Yeah.
John and Lance, along with Dell for the next 3 hours here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
It's cold in here.
It is cold in here.
And look at this. My mic is limp. So far, so good. It won't stay up.
Oh, my God. Look at it. It just, for those of you who can't see, my microphone just, the arm just keeps, there it is. Okay. Now we're good. And, boy, do we have a lot of Texans talk.
Well, what do we start with? Do we start first with the Rockets win over Orlando?
Okay, so the Rockets beat Orlando.
I was just joking.
No. Well, you know what? We got to give them their due. They're in the middle of their season.
For that performance,
they're in
a bad team. They're playing a bad team, playing poorly,
It was kind of a mess. It was a little nasty game.
Listen, but Orlando's one of the best defensive teams
in
the league.
Keep winning.
They put 97 up, and they held them to 84. So
yeah, because Orlando can't score.
Orlando can't score, and they
when's
can't. But they're good at stopping you.
When's the last time an NBA team scored 84 points?
When's the last time an NBA team scored 97 and won?
Listen, that was in the '90s. Listen, they play to their competition. I don't know if you heard, but they do. They suck against. Did you see their record against good teams and their record against mediocre teams?
They suck against suck.
So beating a mediocre team is okay by me. That's fine.
Orlando's bad.
They are just a game behind the Lakers and the Grizzlies now, and two games behind the Nuggets for the overall two seed.
It's freezing in this room.
It's freezing.
You literally could hang meat in here.
So they're 3.5 games ahead of the play-in. So you know what? Every single win important, and you know what? That's a tough game. That's a team that plays good defense. And oh, by the way, they have looked like crap against that team before. They have looked like crap against Wagner and Banchero. So I'm okay with it. That was a nice win. They didn't look great. But you know what? They haven't looked great, period, except the other Saturday night. But you know what? They've got to get through this time, and they got games that they can win. Just win those games, and let's stay in the playoffs. That's all. Now.
No big deal.
Now. Holy crap. First Tunsil. And I'm seeing where... I mean, the players love Tunsil, okay? I'm seeing that the players just love that guy, and how in the world you weaken. I put in there, you got to get it, Del, the sound that I put in from ESPN. They are perplexed by, and specifically Dan Orlovsky, who I thought quit. I thought he quit.
Yeah, well,
I thought he was done.
Oh, well.
Oh, that's right. He just wanted to get paid.
He's like Myles Garrett. Schefter was like, we love Dan. And Dan was like, we'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see about that.
We'll see. And oh, by the way, he did see. Okay. So Lewis Riddick and Dan Orlovsky both commented on it. Lewis Riddick about the Commanders.
Well, it's an inside article.
Oh,
I'm going to have to find it in a different way.
Oh, you got to find it in a different place. Okay. So anyway, Lewis Riddick thought it was a good move protecting Jaden Daniels. Dan Orlovsky is perplexed how a crappy offensive line you get rid of your best offensive lineman. Okay. You've brought it up before. You've heard. I've heard. We've both heard. He's not a great locker room guy. That has been... denied, or they said that's not true. A couple of guys that cover the Texans.
That's not what was said. It was he's not a leader. What they want in the locker room.
He's a leader. He's not a leader.
They want it wired. This is really pretty, and I've been on this for a while now because I know. And there's a reason I had the Texans trading up to 16 for Kelvin Banks in my last mock draft before any of this. Why would I do that? Because this move fits for a few reasons, but it's very inconvenient for the football reason. Granted, there's no question about it. But they want somebody who is all – they want a guy who's wired like an offensive lineman, a dirt dog. That's what they want.
Yeah.
And if you listen, I was standing right there on the podium, and so was Big Sarge. I mean, he must have missed this. But I'm standing right there. And by the way, shout out to Sarge for asking a question we wanted to ask of Ime Udoka. He asked it yesterday, but we'll get to it later.
Okay.
About being in the game. But and actually I think Sarge does a great job of hustling. Like, he's at every event.
Yeah.
This dude is everywhere. And he's at the right, but so we're bringing this up because he's a guy who does local media stuff, and he's, you know, I made a comment about after the trade, this is about culture in the locker room. And he made a comment, but, you know, he didn't directly say me, but he meant me, about, you know, there's people saying that he was a problem in the locker room, and that couldn't be further from the truth. The players loved him. The players loving him. That's one of the problems, is that there's a belief that too many of the guys were following him, including Shaq and Titus Howard, mm-hmm. were two of the guys that I was told. And they want dirt dogs in the offensive line. They want offensive linemen who are wired like nasty, grimy offensive linemen. That's what, and there's nothing wrong with that. Yep. Laremy Tunsil's a good left tackle, but he's not wired the way D'Amico wants him. He wants him more like Will Anderson, is who he wants. And when we were at Indianapolis, and the question was asked, and I may have been the one to ask the question, actually, although it was, he answered it kind of different than the question I asked. He very specifically said, we want tough guys.
Who, D'Amico or
D'Amico
or
Rines.
Okay.
D'Amico Rines.
D'Amico.
He said, we want tough guys. We want guys who are...
About linemen, too. This is specifically about linemen.
Specifically about what he wants in the offensive
line. I remember
line.
This quote, yeah.
He wants dogs. We played it. He wants dogs, basically, in there. And he wants guys who will go knock your head off if you F with his quarterback.
Yeah.
Not just walk back while the quarterback picks himself up after getting hammered by the sideline. He wants guys who are wired a certain way. And that's understandable because the offensive line is the heartbeat of your team, and the O-line and the D-line. Ask the Eagles. That's how they built it. It's the heartbeat. And so you've got, like, he just wants it a certain way. And that checks out with what we've heard about Laremy. He wore the C. He had the captain.
Yeah.
But you'll notice that and we pointed this out multiple times on the show with quotes. You never heard CJ, when they talked about leadership, CJ said, man, Joe Mixon, he goes, we got the leaders.
Aziz.
Joe Mixon, Aziz, Will Anderson, me. He never mentioned the other captain. There was never a mention to him of Laremy Tunsil.
This is true. Laremy Tunsil is not a dirt dog. He's a drip dog. Okay, he loves the drip.
Yeah.
Look at his Instagram and everything else. And you know what? D'Amico doesn't want. He doesn't want his linemen coming in with Gucci bags. He wants them coming in with dirt bags. He wants them coming in. Not dirt bags. Looking like dirt bags. Okay, he wants them to be gritty, tough. All of those
things.
He wants
guys who are ball.
He doesn't
ball
want
comes,
Gucci.
Ball comes first.
Okay, he wants them underwear that you can.
The problem for D'Amico is his linemen buy underwear and singles. Like, he wants them buying them in packs.
From Target.
Right. He doesn't want them going to Nordstrom
right.
and buying single underwear.
That's exactly true. Yeah, he wants them buying in three packs.
Yes.
That's right.
Not a single, in three packs. But it's more than just, like, I think he wants a different culture, but it's also financial. Like, it's both, because you'll notice two of the guys from the line are gone. Shaq and Laremy Tunsil now are gone. So here's the thing with Laremy Tunsil. He was going to be a free agent after next year. You could, if you think he's really good, you play the extension game, you give him money, a little bit of money up front now, you cut D'Amico Autry and create more room for Tunsil, and you extend him and give him two more years. That's what you do. If you think Laremy Tunsil's what you want, because he's got some talent. He didn't play as well last year, but he's got talent, clearly, as a left tackle. But they didn't do that. They didn't extend him and have a friendly cap number or pay him more this year and then have friendlier cap numbers the next couple of years, you know, as much as they can get it to. They didn't do that. They moved him, and the reason's simple. He's going to be a free agent next year. You could let him walk, and then if you signed – fewer than who walked on you in free agency, you're going to be eligible for a compensatory pick, which, based on what he'd signed for, probably a third round pick, maybe a fourth, but probably a third, a good chance of a third, worst case scenario, a fourth. Instead, here's what the Texans said. let's move them. We free up money cap-wise because they freed up money this year for the salary cap so they can sign more players. That's one of the benefits of this. Yep. Another benefit is you ended up getting a second, third, and fourth. Really, it turns into a second and a seventh when you do the cancellations.
Yeah, because you gave up a fourth.
Right. So it turns into a second and a seventh.
That's not as much as I thought they'd get or you thought they'd get.
I thought
we were talking about
first.
Two ones.
No. I thought they could get one. Myles Garrett, I thought you could get two ones. Laramie, I did not think two ones. I thought one. I thought you could get one.
Well, the trade calculator says a second and a third calculates to a mid first, but you got to offset the fourth rounder you're giving up as well.
Well, yeah, but you get one of their fourths too. So I don't know. It's I didn't think it was bad value, to be honest with you, because here's the problem. He's 31 now. Okay, if you take a car, we overpaid for him, but that car was brand new off the lot for the most part. This car now has 5 years on it.
No.
It's got a lot more mileage on it. It's a lot more now.
Left tackle, I ain't worried about that.
The price tag is up to about $27 million for a left tackle now. So the Washington will not make that trade if they're smart. They already have an idea.
But this ain't okay. So it's but the guys were saying, well, this is just about money to free up that money.
No,
it ain't just about money.
No, there's ancillary benefit. It's an ancillary.
You don't
benefit.
Just get rid of one of your better players. Just for money.
Your best offensive line. Why would you do that?
Yeah.
Ask yourself why you would do that. Yes, it benefits you cap-wise this year. Yes, you get more in return draft-wise than you would have got from a compensatory pick. But you don't have them for this year. And you do have a whole left tackle this year. They did it despite the fact that they don't know if they have an answer. I went and counted the number of snaps. Let me see if I have it on this paper. I don't think I have it on this paper. For Laramie Tunsil and Fisher, Blake Fisher. I went all the way back to their entire college careers and everything that they played in pros. Blake Fisher has 500 and some snaps at left tackle. No, I'm sorry. Titus Howard has 500 and some snaps at left tackle for his career and over 3,000 at right tackle. Blake Fisher is something like 1,500 snaps for his career at right tackle, and it's a low amount at left tackle. Neither one of those guys has played a lot of left tackle in their careers, college or pro.
Well, there's some left tackles in this draft.
But it's not a good left tackle draft. And I'll tell you this, Will Campbell, I think that's, you know, number one, he'll be gone. Will Campbell's a big concern to me. Honestly, Kelvin Banks, I'm concerned with his pass sets. He needs work and pass protection. He hasn't gotten any better from his freshman year. It's a little bit of a concern to me, but you do have some guys that you can target. And I 100% believe the Texans are going to trade up. I had it in my mock draft trading to 16 because I think the Texans, and we had the discussion why, they see this as a win now situation. Now they're in a little bit more desperate mode for an offensive tackle, unless Fisher, and I don't think they'll move to, I don't think he's the I think they'll try Fisher at left tackle, but there's no guarantee he works out at left tackle.
Okay, let's say, Membo's still there at 16, 17.
Oh, God. I mean, it would be the easiest pick in the world, but he's a right tackle.
But you got to move up. You got to move up to get him.
Yeah, but he's going in the top. He's probably going in the top seven.
You don't like Campbell?
No, him and Campbell.
What about Josh Simmons?
Him and Campbell, yeah, but Simmons is not a worker. He's not known to be. No, there's scouts tell me that it's not been. Hasn't been very good on
Josh. You don't
Josh
like
Simmons.
Kelvin Banks?
I like Kelvin. I wonder if he's going to be in a guard. Is the problem with Kelvin Banks. But, you know, Kelvin Banks' best game of his career was when he shut down Will Anderson as a freshman. Will Anderson got nothing against the Longhorns.
Zabel's a guard?
Zabel's a center guard, yeah. That's what I'm saying. It's not Ozzie Trapillo from Boston College.
They must like something. They must.
Well, they
got
to have
Or
a
they
plan.
Got Titus at the left guard, and they're going to get themselves an interior, and they're going to get a Zabel or something.
Now, they could do. Now that what they could do is play. They could draft a right tackle. Like the kid from Boston College who Bill O'Brien has, they could draft him at right tackle and try Fisher at left. The problem is
that's dangerous. Bill might sabotage that.
Do you have somebody at left? Do you have somebody at left tackle? Is the question. And I don't know.
What about Titus?
They don't know. Well, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. They obviously that's their first thing is either going to be Titus or Blake.
Yeah.
I think Titus goes to right, and I think Blake Fisher goes to left, and we see what happens. But you have a football concern right now that has not been answered, and I think they will draft offensive linemen in the first because they're not messing around with it. They got to make sure that they get it right. So I think they will use one of their extra draft picks. I think they'll move up.
You cannot get rid of Tunsil and not draft an offensive lineman high.
They have more money for free agency now. They have a draft capital they wouldn't have had, and they change the locker room leadership on the offensive line. I think there's a vacuum in the leadership that maybe Howard can, you know, take over. But I don't know that he's long for this off for this team beyond next year. I don't know that Howard's got anything guaranteed.
This is like an EMA move, a culture move. We don't want James Harden in here. But is Titus now, is he defective because of, you know, the years that he spent with? I mean, is he?
I think he's on notice.
Can he change though? I mean,
I don't know if any of these guys were problems. I just don't think they're like.
They're not dogs.
There wasn't a lot of accountability.
Yeah.
There wasn't a lot of accountability from the offensive line, and I think this is a big wake up call for Howard, because if you draft, let's say you traded up and drafted Kelvin Banks, well, guess what? Blake Fisher's got that right tackle spot in the future, and Kelvin Banks got that left tackle spot. Where does that leave an overpriced right tackle playing guard? Leaves him out in the cold.
Yeah.
So right now, Titus Howard needs to have his best season of his career this year.
Well, they all do. I mean,
but
they all need to play better.
Shaq Mason's gone. So now Laremy Tunsil's gone. They've already eliminated 40% of their offensive line. Everybody, D'Amico's basically saying, that ain't good enough, and we're changing it.
I got to tell you, you brought a couple of things to the table that have come true. You said, right when the season or before the season was over, Shaq Mason's got to go, and they're going to trade Laremy Tunsil. And the both of those happened.
Well, it's just, but I mean, it's not, I didn't do anything special other than, if you get paid that much in the NFL, if you get paid a certain price tag and you don't play to that price tag or you don't have that value,
you go. It's more than that. It's more than that. It's the effect that Tunsil had in that locker
room.
Well,
that, okay.
Yes.
Yes. And that was something
which people have denied. We had a caller call up, which was
either Israel or
Israel or Willie. Why would you trade your best?
And they tried to come after me. I mean, I was telling you, this is something they didn't want, because I also
heard, he heard in the locker room. Remember, said he heard.
Listen, I don't care how what the play. You know, if the his other
he had a guy.
Lineman, he had a guy in the locker room that loved him.
All I know is if you listen to D'Amico, every time they talk leadership, they never mention 78, D'Amico or CJ. When names were checked, his name never got brought up. And number two, I listen to what the head coach says.
Mm-hmm.
And when it's and they'll tell you if you listen, if you read between the lines, they will tell you. Nick won't tell you. You can't get anything like that from Nick. I sat there, and as soon as he was done, I was like, ooh, he wants – I already kind of figured that was what he wants, but he made a point. We want toughness. We want leadership. We want – you know, he kept saying all the buzzwords that I thought, man, he's talking about Laremy. Yep. He's talking about Shaq Mason.
Right. Well, all right, we're just getting started. 713-780-3776. If you want toughness and leadership, I got HRMP for you. I mean, that's how HRMP looks at me, right? Is tough leader here. And now, do I get anything? No, I don't get anything for it. But I know that's how HRMP looks at me.
What about the rest of us?
Just followers. That's all.
Okay.
Okay. But you, especially.
I'm a follower of you.
Right. You're always on probation here. So it's double secret probation. HRMP ain't telling anybody. But, okay, you're just on probation all the time. But I know these kind of things because we're tight. Me and HRMP are tight. Can you turn that off? Me and HRMP, that's not true. HRMP doesn't reveal anything to any of the employees. If you're looking for the best way to get HR and payroll to your company, there's one way. We love HRMP. We've been with them now for over a decade. And you've heard all of the guys on this station talking about how much they love what HRMP does to them. Stop handling your own payroll. Stop handling your own HR. Or if you're with an admin company, that admin company has taken over everything. They've got your 401k. They've got your insurance packages. They got all your benefits packages. And you know what? They're probably making a lot more off of you than you need to be paying, because HRMP is going to give you options on the benefits packages, and they're going to bring you the HR and the payroll at a price that, you know what, you are going to love. You're going to love what HRMP does for your business. If your business is growing now, look at HRMP to help you guys manage all of these things that you don't need to manage. HRP.net, 281-880-6525 or HRP.net.
We're back in the Veritex Community Bank Studios with John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. They're celebrating Colombia at the Rockets game Saturday.
March 15th.
March 15th. And Melissa was just in here telling us all about it and how important it is because there's so many NBA Colombians.
There is. I was here for that match in the
NBA CONCACAF.
It was not NBA. It wasn't. But there's a lot of Colombians here. Colombians, she said. Not Colombia. She said, it's not Copa America. Colombia.
It was probably Copa America.
Yeah, Copa.
Copa.
Yeah. Colombia, we found
Colombia. Not Colombia.
And it was packed. You know how big energy is. There was about, I would say, a good 58 to 60,000 in attendance from that
just
Colombians.
Wearing
yellow? Well, I'm wearing yellow. Yeah, I think probably, you had some weddos like me supporting them, but you probably had, it was probably like 70%, I bet. From a nationality standpoint, there's a lot here.
Yeah.
There's a lot here.
All right, back to the Texans now. Back to the Texans. And congratulations, Colombia, on all your NBA ties. So Tunsil. Here is – well, Lewis Riddick just talked about – he just talked about how it was good for the Commanders. He loved it for Washington.
Do you like it for Washington?
I kind of do.
I kind of do, too.
Yeah.
I mean – it's y'all can deal with this false starts and the drip and all that stuff.
Yep,
if you got your locker room right and you don't care, he makes you better at left tackle.
Yes.
No question.
Yeah. No, they're better. But here is Dan Orlovsky talking about the trade.
You like what Adam Peters, the general manager, is doing from a planning standpoint to help his young quarterback. He's saying, look, we want to make sure that we're dominant on the offensive line. We want to make sure he's protected on the perimeter.
This is Riddick.
Jeremy Tunsil, that's what you do. You upgraded at left tackle now. Now what else do you do? You've got to get him a home run threat at running back. Someone who is a guy who provides juice. And there's a bunch of guys in the draft. I'm telling you, they're going to get one. They're going to get somebody who can hit home runs. Get him more help on the perimeter. Look, Debo's already there. That's great. Terry McLaurin's there. That's great. Get him another one. This offense is rolling. This team is rolling. I love fundamentally how they're building it.
Fantastic move by Washington. I'm very confused by Houston right now with this.
Weird.
Because the one thing that went poorly for them last year was their offensive line. Mm. They're trading away their best offensive lineman. So you're taking what was your weakness last year and making it weaker. And that's my concern. I love it for Washington. But if you're C.J. Stroud and you're going into year three and you got your butt kicked last year by pressure, I'm very confused by this move by Houston.
Excuse me.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think any of them, well, I guess Orlovsky in this case, employs critical thinking? So, you know the offensive line's bad. You know your franchise quarterback got their ass kicked. They're trading their best offensive lineman. Do you think he would ever think to go, why is that? Start asking questions about Laremy Tunsil?
Yeah.
I don't know if he has sources in Houston, but maybe ask around and ask why they would so you have a better.
That's what I don't like.
I think Dan Orlovsky has got PTSD on asking about culture or guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, guys in the locker room or I think I'm.
He always opts for the.
He can't, he's not a great.
But you know what? To be fair, because James Palmer reached out and said, James used to be here. And he said these guys from the outside don't really know. His whole point was that Tunsil is not playing like they think. Like he's not as good as he once was. His point was that the outside people who are on the outside looking in, they think Tunsil's still a top one or two player in the league.
I just saw one article that said, listen, we had him at 72nd in the NFL, which is a big drop for him over previously. He was their best offensive lineman.
Well, he was. So you should
now,
ask,
he's not incorrect on he was the best offensive lineman.
No, but it feels counterintuitive to if you were bad on the offensive line, you get rid of your – but to Dell's point, you should ask yourself, why would they do that? Yeah. Well, it's easy to find. Number one – you could say, number one, they needed cap. Honestly, they need cap room to make free agency moves, like to sign a roster. They need more cap space. Number two, they decided we're not going to just play it out and get nothing for them, basically. Because if you end up signing more free agents next year than you do this year, Tunsil even won't matter at all on compensatory picks. You don't get any picks if you sign more than you lose. And then lastly, you know, if he dug around a little bit on the local scene, which he's most people, I guess, aren't going to, you find out that there was, you know, there's just been some concern. We're not making it up. I mean, I'm not making it up. I'm sure the Texans aren't going to, and the Texans will never come out and say that. And guys who cover the team but just are friends with the players are never going to say that. They won't know unless they're going deeper than that. And I'm sure Tunsil was well liked by his teammates, especially on the offensive line and all that stuff. That has nothing to do with them wanting to get a different mentality on the offensive line.
Okay.
DeMeco told us at the combine, he told us after the season, the same time he answered the Bobby Slowick questions, one of the ones that came up was offensive line. He wants more toughness up front, and he wants a different mentality up front.
So you talk about the money that they freed up. Daryl Taylor, 5 years, $25 million. Daryl Taylor, interesting. Derek Barnett, 1 year, $5 million. Tremon Smith, 1 year. Tremon Smith got 1 year, $7.5 million deal.
And he can
Braxton Berrios, 1 year, $2 million contract. Sheldon Rankins, 1 year, $7 million deal.
Well, Taylor's interesting. So what they've done is Taylor's a backup, but he's got some range.
Well, now you got Barnett, you got Taylor, so you've got Anderson, you've got Hunter.
Right, you got your four. There's your four. So you've now got your four there. You notice that they've got a move with Autry in the pocket if they need to free up more room, but I don't think they have to now. I think the Tunsil move has freed them up to make moves to get their roster right. Like, this really helps get the roster where it needs to be. Moving Tunsil served multiple purposes. It helps you have the money.
That was my bad. 1 year, 5.25.
I was about to say that. It's
1 year, 5.25.
And Braxton Berrios is just over $2 million, you know, I don't even know if that whole thing's guaranteed. He could still get cut, although I don't expect him to.
I don't expect him to get cut.
I don't expect him to.
Tremon Smith is an expensive, mostly special teams guy, he's going to be on the field defensively.
He plays DB, and he's got some wheels now. He can return. Yeah.
I saw 525. I was like, 5 years, 25 minutes? No. 5.25. Right. So Daryl Taylor and Derek Barnett, which isn't bad. Barnett had himself a nice season. You bring back Sheldon Rankins, you bring in Taylor, and you keep Barnett.
You need a big boy in
you
the middle.
You still need, yes.
You still need
what
a
about
big boy
in the
middle.
Second? What about?
Let me give you somebody here.
Because you gotta address offensive line.
Yeah, it's actually a good defensive tackle draft, and that could be your first round pick could actually be a defensive tackle. A D tackle, let's see. My D tackles that I think would make some sense. You know, Walter Nolan could fall to you, and then you got a decision to make. Because he's got maturity issues, but he's very talented. And if he falls to you, there's a reason he's fallen. So if your whole thing is about culture, you got to ask some serious questions about Walter Nolan. Derek Harmon, he's a drain clogger from Oregon. He is not going to be a great rusher, but that's okay. That's not what you want. Like, he's part of a swarm unit, but I don't think he's going to make a whole lot of plays, but he's going to eat up some space inside. He's strong. Derek Harmon would make some sense at 25 at defensive tackle. Kenneth Grant would. I don't think he'll be there.
He's not going to be
alone. Tyleek Williams from Ohio State. If you were to move back in the second round, maybe somewhere in the second round. Josh Farmer from Florida State is another guy who I think late in the second could be somebody that you look at, because I think he'll go in the second. These are guys with size I'm trying to give you.
And then it kind of cloggers.
Yeah, it kind of slows down a little bit. JJ Pegues doesn't always show up as much. Cam Jackson just really tested.
Okay, so it's but we agree. It's got to be offensive line in the first,
or defensive line.
Defense in the second. Can't wait till the second.
I would tell you, you just never know what the trades are going to be. I think it's offensive line or defensive line in the first. If you don't move, then it could be defensive line at 25. If you do move, it's for an offensive line. Yeah.
All right, Justin Watson. 3 Super Bowl rings. 1 with Tampa, 2 with Kansas City. He is going to play a role offensively.
I mean, he's okay. That's another guy who can play some teams also. He's okay.
He can block though too.
Yeah, he is.
You know what?
He is. Somebody compared
him to Haley used Puka Nacua. I saw Puka Nacua would go in motion inside and then head upfield and take on a linebacker.
I mean,
I could certainly see Justin Watson.
Justin doing Watson that. Is a big wide receiver. He does have some Kevin Walter in him.
Yes.
Right? He's got some Kevin Walter in him. He's not used, whenever he's used, he does pretty well. He wasn't used a whole lot with Kansas City, but when he was, you know, he did his job. I'm going to look up his snap count because I feel like he's just not getting a whole lot of. He's just not getting a whole lot of reps.
Well, between Rasheed Rice and Xavier Worthy and Travis Kelce, he's going to be a fourth or fifth option.
What was his number?
It was one year, a couple million.
Oh, it's just one?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, then you're just filling out your roster.
Pretty sure. Let me see.
You didn't mention the great Braxton Berrios.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, we did. Okay.
What do you think, though?
He is a fringe roster guy.
Yeah.
He's not going to give you a lot of juice in special teams, although that was calling card early in his career. He won't drop a punt, so if you need somebody who will at least catch the punt, he's good for that. There's not a lot of juice there, but he was a guy who played behind two stars, but he didn't really make a name for himself. He got hurt last year. He's just a guy.
He's a poor man, Xavier Restrepo.
Berrios was the original, and then Restrepo came along.
We're just going a little smallish.
A Miami short-arm receiver.
Slot receiver.
But
that people call white, but Restrepo's not white.
He's not white. Half, I guess, if you want to call him white. He might make the roster is where you are with Restrepo.
Really?
He might. I mean, they signed into a deal that means they know he's not a guarantee to make the roster.
There's nowhere's reporting. I can't find Justin Watson's contract anywhere. I assumed it was just a 1 year, but it might be more.
Well, you know, he actually played more snaps than I thought last year.
He was on the field.
Yeah, he had 700. He had 700 snaps last year, 693, 566, 159, 231, 73. Like, he hasn't played. Last year, he's coming off of the most snaps he's ever played. But he's, you know, from a receiving.
You think there's too much tread off the tire?
Well, no, I just think that you're just filling out the roster. Yeah. Like, you're just filling out. Look, their fourth and fifth wide receivers weren't very good last year.
He's a fourth guy.
That's what he is. They're just basically shuffling the deck. Yeah. We're done with these guys. Let's try these guys. Yeah. That's what that is. And that's fine.
Right.
You know, that's fine.
There's nowhere. I misspoke. I thought it was a one. I have no idea. No one's reporting what the contract
for Watson
is. You're
just giving guys so much money this year.
I didn't give them any money. I just said it was
a
1 year
deal. You gave Daryl Taylor so much money.
I did give Daryl Taylor.
Well, you gave $5
million. I went $525 and it was $5.25. All right, let's get a couple of calls. Oh, no, we got a break and we'll get calls in here. When we come back, 734 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Busy, busy, busy day. So, wow, with Underdog now, where do you put Watson? Okay, I'm going to go higher on Watson catches this year. An Underdog.
Well, these are discussions. Now, you typically will do it game by game by game. So when it's NBA games, your college basketball games, when the NFL's around, baseball. Okay, so baseball, you have strikeouts all the time, higher or lower, 5.5 strikeouts for Hunter Brown, 6.5 strikeouts. So I want you to know that this is something you're going to use your Ryan. I won with the UFC over the weekend. I hit 2 out of 3, but it was still a winner. So you can, you know, if you use the flex option, you can go, it lowers your payouts, but it also gives you a chance to win with 2 out of 3, 3 out of 4, 4 out of 5, 4 out of 6, the double flex that you have available to you. These are all available to you with Underdog Fantasy. Might I interest you in discounted statistics where it makes it easier for you to win? How about automatic winners where they go higher than 0.5 rushing yards for Saquon Barkley, you know what I mean? Or higher than 0.5 points for Luka. I mean, these are automatic winners they're giving you. Then they also have profit boosters. So I see 50% profit boosters all the time. Every once in a while, they throw one over 70%, which is like, oh my gosh, you got to jump in on that. So there's so many different ways for you to win with Underdog Fantasy. You're watching the games anyway. You're watching the sporting events. Take your knowledge that you have right now. You're sitting there yelling at us from your car. We don't know what we're talking about in sports. Well, take your sports knowledge and use it on Underdog Fantasy. Use my promo code Lance. They're going to take care of you with the bonus cash. Make your first deposit. Use promo code Lance. You get bonus cash back up to $1,000 and a free pick. So, I mean, what are you waiting for? This is a chance for you to make real money using your sports knowledge on games you're already watching. You must be 18 or older and present in the state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms and conditions apply. If you feel like you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER or go to ncpgambling.org.
You're listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. John and Lance, along with Dell, here with you. And we got a busy morning, and we got all kinds of calls here. All right. Israel is here. Israel, was it Israel who had the people in the locker room that said?
No, I believe that was Willie.
It was Willie?
Yes.
Willie had the people in the locker room that knew that that Tunsil was a great guy and he wasn't going
to
get traded?
Well, his response to Lance was, I know people too, pretty much.
I know people too, except, well, Lance was right. Israel, what's going on, Israel?
What up? Hey, man, they did Tunsil a favor, bro. DC is the guest. That's a historical franchise, and they knew the value of him. He don't have to go. He going to a different press, the media there. It's different. That's Chocolate City. Plus, Magic Johnson is one of the owners. Only thing downside for to me is he going to the NFC East. He going and he got to go up against Philly, and people talking about that, and Dallas. He got to go against Dak and my man from Channelview. That's the only downside. And he's leaving a weak the weak division that he was in. Other than that, they building Magic Johnson like he did with the Dodgers and with the Lakers. They are going to build a championship. I don't know if it's going to be right now because they got to deal with Jalen Hurts, right? And I think that. So they did him a favor. He got to work. He got a chocolate media down there. And I'm all right. I'm going to get off. And then Leprechaun's still a bust. Y'all still mad about that. All right.
All right, so you're right. It's a better organization. There's no question.
The Commanders because
are.
Of the one
now
year,
they are as opposed to the Daniel Snyder.
Because
Commanders.
Of one year, they're.
Oh no, absolutely. They made the NFC Championship game, which is something the Texans have never done.
Understood. But I mean, that doesn't mean that.
No. They're on a trajectory. They're better than the Texans. They are. They're better than the Texans.
I don't think most people would say that. This has been a bad organization for Dan. Like it's literally yeah, just
it's turned.
You're 1 year.
Yeah,
you're 1 year.
Well, the
removed.
Texans are 2 years.
You're one year removed,
and they didn't.
No,
do
I'm just
anything,
saying you're 1 year removed.
And
for
the Texans have gotten slammed. The Commanders went into Detroit and beat the best team in the NFL in Detroit. Okay. And they got Jaden is on a better trajectory than CJ is right now.
This is very recency bias.
But so is the Texans. They're 2 years.
But you're working off 1 year. But this team has been like
you would learn.
I don't know about what my problem is. Is this
they're
like,
a more historic franchise?
Historic in the 80s.
Yeah. Right. No.
In the early 90s, like this is not. Let's slow down on big up in Washington. They're no different than Houston, really.
Listen, and in the toughest division in football,
yeah.
They made the playoffs. They beat Detroit in Detroit.
We're in the second toughest
division in football.
Yeah.
The Giants and the Cowboys reside in that division.
The Super Bowl champ was there, and they both teams played in the NFC Championship.
That's two teams. That's not the toughest division in football.
And the Cowboys are better than they were because Dak was hurt. Okay, the Cowboys are better than they
were. What game are you playing right now?
I'm not playing
he's
any
playing
game.
A silly game.
He's right. Washington is a better organization than the Texans.
I think that's
but
up for debate.
Wouldn't we have learned from what the Texans did in 2023 not to jump to who's better? Because considering the step back they took in 2024, why are the Commanders immune to that happening in 2025?
Well, no, they're not.
They're
immune
not.
To it. They're not immune.
Exactly.
They're
one injury from a skinny quarterback away from being all of a sudden they're. They're a bad organization.
Well, and the Texans were the toast of the town last offseason.
That's what we're saying.
And they laid an egg.
That's what we're saying.
We'll see what the Commanders do this year.
I'm willing to see. But I also think being a good organization is not necessarily just your win count. It's about how you operate. And how did they – like the Texans have operated – look. They were atrocious during the Bill O'Brien stuff, especially once they – not necessarily when Rick Smith was here. Rick kind of kept things – Rick and Bill's – beef kind of it was still kept on track. It went obviously crazy. They were the worst organization in football. Well, the Jets are terrible, but they're one of the worst in football. But once they cleared out Smeagol and they got rid of Billy, it's been way better. You have a GM who knows what he's doing. You have a head coach who knows what he's doing. I mean, it's not a bad organization. They take care of players. Players don't dislike the Texans. They'll come here. Your money definitely spent.
No, absolutely.
They've got pretty good facilities. Like, I think the Texans are not a bad organization. They just haven't learned to win at the highest level. But I don't think that makes you, for me, I'm thinking good organization is do the players around the league think highly of you?
Well, I know that it's listen, Dan Snyder getting out of that building.
It helps.
That's the same as Smiaga leaving here.
Yeah.
It is. I mean, so it's a better, much better
and
organization.
He was the owner.
By the way, they're making really good decisions. I don't know that the coaching – I don't know. Dan Quinn and Cliff was better than D'Amico and Slowick.
Well, they're off to they got off to a Texans start, even better than the Texans last year. They're off to a good start, too.
Yeah.
I just want to – after last year, like, it's – I want to see them now that they're the
absolutely.
Hunted.
Well, we wanted to see the Texans,
but what's the point of it?
And they
anyway?
Didn't.
Well, like the pissing match.
No.
About who's
they did him a favor. He's playing in a more high profile place. Tunsil is. He's. We'll see how much if he plays well or whatever.
They don't care what they did for him. They even said. Did you see? Aaron Wilson said he talked to people inside the organization. Who said we did what was best for we feel like this is best for both sides.
Yeah. Right. Exactly. Yeah.
And so because you know why? Because he's going to get because Washington's going to give him an extension now. Houston wasn't going to give him one.
Let's get exactly.
Houston wasn't going to give
him one. Houston didn't want to give him an extension.
So he'll get an extension.
We'll see whether or not it's a mistake, and we'll see if he poisons that. I don't want to say poisons the locker room.
Well, there's some people in Washington who are a little concerned about they didn't love this move because they say his play has come down. You're giving away a lot of future draft
capital.
And you're going to have to pay.
Well, we're going to have Israel and Willie in the same segment. Let's go. Cool. I mean, does it get any better than this?
I've had my headphones down the whole time.
All right, let's get Willie in here. Hey, Willie.
Yeah, you might as well turn your headphones down. You're on a talk show and don't want to talk. The reason why I'm calling is when I called last week and I said, no, I'm not going to apologize. I broke clock right two times a day. reason why I'm calling is John said that I said I knew some people in the locker room now. I don't know any people in the locker room.
No, you said that last week. You said that last week. I know people too.
I didn't.
Yeah, you did.
That's what I said. I didn't say I know people too. I said I know two people too, but not right now. I knew two people under Bill O'Brien. That they are not there.
Well, you didn't say that last week. You intimated that you knew people right now. So
it doesn't matter. You weren't right.
No, I didn't say right now.
Willie, you came after me for saying something that came true because it's obvious. If you actually knew, you would know that they needed moves to be made. There's also financial advantages to moving him. There's also draft capital advantages. Now, you're not going to be as good at left tackle. That's the truth, okay, they wanted to change.
So, Willie, what was said was we knew people in the locker room. Lance had talked to people in the locker room about Tunsil and his influence in that locker room, and you said, I know people too. Okay, so that intimates.
Did I say I know people now?
Whatever. Move on. Whatever.
They got worse.
Well, I think they are more. It's more challenging on the field, but they added more space for cap. They got draft picks they wouldn't have gotten had they not traded them, and they get to change the locker room leadership on the offensive line. They get to get a guy out that they don't think was a big leader.
Yep.
That's just a fact. Well, and you came after me because I said that, but I knew what I was talking about, Willie. Sorry, clock, got it again.
You got that one right.
Thank you, Willie. Apology accepted.
I'm still going to make money off of you.
Okay, that's all. Thank you, Willie. Lance is dabbing over here. Willie apologized.
Yeah, Willie apologized. He said, my headphone's low, but I think Lance is right.
He got that one right.
He said you got that one right. He said broke clock.
I don't know if that's an apology, but he did say you got it right.
I think it's an apology. Sounds like an apology to me.
If someone called you broke, would that be an apology?
I'm broke.
Yeah, but it didn't sound like a compliment from Willie.
Okay.
Well, you're broke. Broke if Wendy wasn't around. You're just broke.
If Wendy wasn't around, I'd be broke.
Broke. You're just broke. You can borrow. So you're not broke.
Yeah.
There are some people not happy about the trade. For football reasons. There's some people who don't think you got enough. But listen,
I thought they'd get more.
Well, who did we just see? The wide receiver that went for a 6th-round pick, and everyone's like, wait, he's only worth a 6th? Debo. You have to understand, the sliding scale is based on how old are you, how much money are you going to cost, and in this case, a new contract. And this is a spiraling out of control financial situation we have here from a player standpoint, from the contract standpoint. Washington's getting ready to take on a massive contract with a 31-year-old player who is probably starting to decline a little bit.
Yeah. But he's still going to be.
So what are you going to give? So what are you going to give for that? You're not going to give. You're not going to give probably a
as
first.
Long as,
I thought you could get a first. So
as long as he's not a leader, and he doesn't necessarily have to. I don't know the rest of his offensive line and what kind of room it is or whatever. Maybe Dan Quinn has got a room that can stand Laremy Tunsil. That's a question. They need a room that can stand Laremy Tunsil and Deebo Samuel now. Okay, so they're picking up guys that they think can play, but their room is. Remember Charlie Cassidy told us, hey, now listen, hey. You got to have a room strong enough, see, to take on guys like this, see.
Yeah,
and Dan Quinn might be able,
but it's usually not the coach; it's usually the player.
And they lost Jonathan Allen, who you look at as a leader. He's now a Viking. So.
He's gone. Hey, it can get out of control on them quick if they don't have if the dynamics shift too much. But they're trying to approach it from a talent standpoint, and I get it.
Yeah,
I totally get them going for Tunsil. They're saying, "Look, we're willing to." Pay a little extra because we want to get our quarterback because we feel like we got a chance to win right now. Like we feel like now is our time. And the Texans, you know, I think the Texans have felt like that also.
They were in the NFC Championship. Of course they feel like they can win now. And now they've added some better players.
I get it for them.
Whether or not it affects the locker room is another question.
But for the Texans, this was a move that the Texans, I think, welcome on multiple fronts. But yes, football-wise, I'm not disagreeing. It just got more challenging at left tackle.
All right, we got a lot more to talk about. 713-780-3776. How about the Gulf Coast windows? Let's talk about that for a minute. Talk about challenging is replacing your windows, okay? And if you need new windows, you've got really shoddy windows or whatever, you know what it can do to the value of your home to have new windows, especially Gulf Coast windows? You go to that showroom and you see these windows and you're going to be like, wow, this is just first class, best, top of the line. All of those accolades, all of those adjectives that describe the best, that's what you're getting in a Gulf Coast window. It's founded by a veteran of the industry in Jim Fiume. Been doing this for over 35 years. He's just the best. You can trust him because you can trust the track record that he has built. He has built, and I talk about the Pinnacle Award all the time, but it's just everybody. They're getting the quality window. They're getting the quality installation, the quality warranty. They're standing behind their work. They're standing behind their product. They're standing behind everything. They don't leave until the job is perfectly done. It is going to be a perfect scenario for you. You're building a home or you are replacing your windows and doors. Whatever it is that you're doing, go with the best. It's not even arguable. Ask the Better Business Bureau. GulfCoastWindows.com, 713-849-5454. Tell them you heard it right here.